The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Highest crime rate in the country. There's a place where I used to, was the only white guy that worked as a lifeguard down in that area, on the east side. And you know where you can always tell where the best basketball in the state is and the best basketball in the city is. It's where everybody shows up. Why in this nation, for example, so many black Americans wake up knowing they could lose their life just by living their lives? If you come from neighborhoods like I come from and down in Delaware, if you have a 16 or 17-year-old son and you get your driver's license, you sit down and say, look, if you get stopped, put your hands on the wheel. Don't do anything. Just, I mean, I'm being serious. I'm being serious. But here's the point. Simply jogging, sleeping on their homes. You know, they made headlines or not. They've lost souls. What are we doing? And by the way, how many, my dad used to love to hunt in the Poconos when we lived in Scranton. How many deer or bear wearing Kevlar vests? Huh? Not a joke. Do you realize the bullet out of an AR-15 travels 5 times as rapidly as a bullet shot out of any other gun? We the people. That's how our Constitution starts, the Declaration. We the people.
That's who we are. More of that to come tomorrow night, perhaps. He's got a primetime speech scheduled in Philadelphia. And on a more, I mean, I'm sure we'll get a few of those stories as well if we see him get off script. But tomorrow, on a more serious note, tomorrow night, the White House is billing this as how that America's democracy remains under attack. They use those words. I've talked about how this book, it's coming out at the perfect time. And of course, right around the same time, you see the counterattack going on, or the counterfeit, however you want to look at it. We'll flesh that out a little bit more as we proceed on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to our live video stream every day of the week, every weekday anyway, at 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of the United States. That's at thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com. That's the homepage. And then type in /live, and it takes you direct to the live stream page. And also, you can watch all of these programs after the fact. We post them 2 or 3 hours after we do the live taping. So we've got lots to get to on today's show. You know, Satan, we've talked about the devil being, he's just filled with wrath, enraged, confined to this earth, and doing everything he can to blot out the physical nations of Israel, to blot out even the name, to blot out spirit, certainly to blot out spiritual Israel. But, you know, another thing about the devil is he's a great counterfeiter. And we went through this recently just in Principles of Living, going back to the Garden of Eden. And, of course, God gave Adam and Eve all of this wonderful instruction. It's a very brief account, of course, the first 3 chapters there in Genesis. But God gave them the essential information they needed. Their minds were empty the moment they were created. And so he began to teach them. He instituted the marriage union. He talked to them about the family. Why family? He told them about the gospel message, about the coming kingdom of God. And all through that instruction, initially, he kept Satan back. And then, of course, you get to chapter 3, and Satan comes along and basically says to Eve, God's a liar. Here's the truth. What I have for you is the truth. You just don't let God decide what's right and wrong. You decide. Decide for yourself. Use these powers of intellect. You can do this on your own. You don't need God's help. Or if you look into the history of the true church, here again, right at the outset of the church, the establishment of God's church, you can read about this in Acts 2. But if you fast forward into Acts 8, you see Satan working right away to establish a great counterfeit religious organization. That's in Acts 8, and that history with Simon Magus. So here you have this nation, the United States, being attacked. I mean, it is just relentless. The Democrats control every lever of power, as I've said. And yet they're going on and on about being attacked. They think they're under attack. This is Satan's response. No, you're attacking us. No, we've got to destroy Donald Trump, or think about what might happen. Think about the possibilities. They certainly don't want Donald Trump to get hold of power, the power that they're abusing on every level. Listen to this from yesterday. I mean, this, I think, sets the stage for his speech in Philadelphia tomorrow night. I mean, he's been going on and on about the Republicans or Trump supporters being fascists, calling them Nazis. In fact, it's not just Donald Trump, the whole movement. Here he is in his speech yesterday, clip 3.
So let me say this to my MAGA Republican friends in Congress. Don't tell me you support law enforcement if you won't condemn what happened on the 6th. Don't tell me. Can't do it. For God's sake, whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? Look. You're either on the side of a mob or the side of the police. You can't be pro-law enforcement and pro-insurrection. You can't be a party of law and order and call the people who attacked the police on January 6th patriots. You can't do it. What are we teaching our children? It's just that simple. And now it's sickening to see the new attacks in the FBI.
So now the Democrats are the party of law and order. They're pro-police. Just 2 years ago, they were screaming for law enforcement to be defunded. And of course, we're seeing what happened following that movement. You look at our cities, you look at the crime. Now they're out there talking a little tougher, saying that we need to fund. He said yesterday, in fact, that we need to fund law enforcement. Well, you're 2 years too late. So the Democrats, they see themselves as the party of law and order. In fact, they're running the police state. And you notice there, it's all, as I said yesterday, it's all January 6th. This is all that they've got, this fake narrative created by the FBI and others. It's fake. And oh, remember the Klobuchar quote, that clip yesterday, very revealing. Very revealing, because Bill Maher was saying, look, the Hunter Biden laptop was covered up before the election because they wanted to try to help Biden win. And then Klobuchar's response to that, keep in mind, Maher says, is that really where we want to be going with the FBI and the DOJ? Do we really want to be covering up stories? These alphabet agencies covering up stories for political purposes? So the subject is the FBI, Hunter Biden laptop, and Klobuchar's response was, well, remember who we're dealing with here. It's a man who literally tried to lead an armed insurrection. January 6th, you see. That didn't even have anything to do with the question that Maher was asking. At the time that the Hunter Biden laptop was covered up, the January 6th insurrection had not happened. It was months earlier. So basically, it's an indirect way of admitting that, well, yeah, it is okay to rig the election so long as it gets the bad orange man out, because he leads armed insurrections. Klobuchar didn't, she didn't address the laptop. She didn't address the fact that the FBI called up Zuckerberg and said, don't report on this. So in her mind, that's fine. All of that's fine. To use police state tactics, as long as it's against the other side, then that's totally fine. Listen to what he had quite a bit to say about gun control. And this is a snippet on that, clip two.
And for those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping America as independent and safe, if you want to fight against a country, you need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun. No, I'm not joking. Think about this. Think about the rationale we use.
So he pulls out the Kevlar vests for the animals, the F-16s again, these tired, worn-out arguments. The Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of a people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So what is he saying here? Just do away with the Second Amendment because a gun's not going to help you against an F-16 anyway. The guns, by the way, help the Taliban. The United States with the F-16s suffered a humiliating defeat in Afghanistan to these mountain men with rifles. That's about it. And there he is, the ultimate goal. He's starting with the so-called assault weapons. But the goal really is to seize control of the guns, like they want to control everything else. Because they know that too represents an existential threat, just like Donald Trump does. So go for the gun grab. Here it is, though, embedded into the United States Constitution. Last night, by the way, I think it was just minutes before midnight, the DOJ filed its response to Donald Trump's brief, saying that there ought to be a third party that looks at these documents, that they just came in, they raided the Mar-a-Lago house, they took all those documents, they wouldn't let Trump's lawyers stay there, or even observe. And then they file their brief last night, and basically they're moving in the direction of obstruction. So here's where we are. They go in. First, it's about the archives. There's some documents. They could just be, you know, nothing. No classification or whatever. But hey, the Archives Act says that those got to be over at the National Archive. Then we moved on. Oh, it's super classified, some of these documents. Then it's the nuclear codes. Remember that? That was 2 weeks ago. The nuclear codes might be there. And now, I mean, we've come full circle, I guess you could say. Now it's obstruction. They've tried to obstruct. Trump's people said that they were cooperating, but that's not true. There were some secret, and we've got a photo. We've got a photo of classified documents just spread all over the floor. Well, who spread them there? Was it this the FBI? And why wouldn't Trump's lawyers be able to observe this photo op staged by your FBI? And now the photo of these very serious, sensitive documents, it's circulating right around the world. The FBI is so concerned about these national secrets that they take a photo of these stacks of papers on the floor, and now that goes around the world. What a joke this is. I mean, who's running these agencies? Well, they're radical communist Democrats. That's what they are. And they're doing anything and everything that they can to try to find something that sticks. Where is the crime? I mean, the crime. If he's a fascist, if he's abusing power, he has no power. But leave that aside. Where are the crimes? Well, they're looking for them. They're looking. They want to get him like they got General Flynn. Just get him on a technicality. Get him on a process crime. This is from Politico. It says Trump likely obstructed classified records probe, DOJ says. That's the headline. Trump likely obstructed. The article says just minutes before a midnight deadline, the Justice Department filed a stunning response to former President Donald Trump. So the walls are closing in. Adam Schiff, he tweeted out this morning that this brief filed by your DOJ, It's devastating. It's just devastating. I mean, the hounds are frothing at the mouth. They are excited. This is finally going to be it. This will finally take Donald Trump down. Yes, indeed. You can read similar statements in 2021, in 2020, in 2019, in 2018, in 2007. This is it. This is it. This is the bombshell. He obstructed justice. He obstructed an investigation. We're the FBI. We're righteous. We have rights to just go right into a former president's home and rifle through all of his belongings, pull out his drawers, throw papers on the floor, take pictures, and send it around the world as proof. Proof of what? He obstructed. He's obstructing. Klobuchar's response, remember. Do we really want to sit on a story for political purposes if we're the FBI? January 6th. January 6th. And here's Joe Biden yesterday, of all people, supposedly a defender of the men in blue, a defender of law enforcement. The 36-page document is chock full of previously unknown information, providing an extensive timeline of how the government worked to recover classified material before the unprecedented search of Mar-a-Lago. It is the clearest and most detailed account yet offered of what preceded the August 8th seizure and forcefully rebuts attacks from Trump and his allies. See, it's Trump who's attacking. It's Trump. Morning Joe this morning. It's Trump who's attacking. If he gets back in, he's going to weaponize the DOJ. Isn't that especially rich coming from the radical left? They just sent the FBI goons into Donald Trump's home, his private residence. A residence, by the way, secured by the Secret Service. With documents, if they were, Trump says they were all declassified. He's got the goods. If this goes before a judge and he shows the judge, I declassified all of them. They were in my house. They were secure. We put on a lock, an additional lock, when the FBI said put another lock on. And oh, by the way, I've got Secret Service all around the place guarding it. How do you even compare something such as this when he had all of those presidential powers before he left to declassify and such? And Hillary Clinton, who had all of these classified documents, digital documents, that were hacked, that did go right around the world, and then she obstructed justice when the FBI came and said, we need this, or I think maybe it was Congress, subpoenaed the equipment. She took a hammer to it and started smashing it. She used bleach bit to destroy the files. And Comey, you know the story. Comey comes along later and says that she did all of this. But she was never a president of the United States. She didn't have those presidential powers to declassify anything either. So they're hunting for any and everything that they can find. They're trying. This is why they've come full circle back to obstruction. Same thing they said about the Mueller investigation. Every other day they'd say, he's obstructing. This is a righteous investigation. We're going to find all the goods. He's going to prison. And they get to the end of it, and what do they find? Nothing. Nothing. And here again, Trump's people cooperated to the extent that they should have. If anything, he's bent over backwards. He's been too nice to these thugs. I think Donald Trump is now wising up to, again, just how vicious and evil this is. If it's so, as he tweeted out this morning, or I guess it's Truth Social, whatever you call those things, he said, if it's so sensitive, if it's so classified, why are you taking pictures of it and sending it around the world? And why don't you explain the photo? Why don't you tell the world that was the FBI that did that, that threw those documents all over the floor and then took a photo? It wasn't me. I didn't have those. I had those documents secure. And then added to that, as Trump rightfully pointed out, where's all the information in this amicus brief filed last night about the nuclear codes? Nothing in there. Nothing in there about Trump going nuclear. Now, that was the bombshell from 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. They had to justify this unconstitutional raid on Donald Trump's home. So they said, they leaked it out. Of course, they leaked it out that there are nuclear documents. And yet nothing in the brief about that. This is from the brief itself. It says, the government also developed evidence that the government records were likely concealed and removed from the storage room, and that efforts were likely taken to obstruct the government's investigation. That's not the Washington Post. That's the brief filed in court by the DOJ last night. They said that Trump's people likely took steps to obstruct. It's the same, that's the Comey language. The same, is it, did it happen? Well, we don't know, but it's possible. Did they obstruct? Well, it's likely that they did. They raided his home on this, based on this, going after documents that were declassified by Trump himself? And yes, the answer is yes, they did. And now, of course, the work to cover their tracks and to claim victim status. Even Bill Barr, he's on board with it. Yeah, the poor FBI coming under attack. Joe Biden, you heard him there at the end. And now these attacks on the FBI, it's the FBI that's under attack. What a counterfeit. You look at 2 Corinthians 11. It's a detailed description of Satan's religious system. You have, on the one hand, you have the true church. We have a wonderful book. I'm not sure if it's here. The True History of God's True Church. If you don't have that one for your library, that's a powerful message. The 800 number, if you're in the U.S. and Canada or the Caribbean, 1-866-930-3024. The book by my father is titled The True History of God's True Church. You can see the phone number there at the lower third if you'd like to call our operators. But in 2 Corinthians 11, you've got Paul describing Satan's false system of religion, and it's complete with a gospel about Jesus. There are apostles, there are ministers, and then it culminates in saying that even Satan himself, these false ministers, they can appear as angels. Because even Satan himself comes as an angel of light. Look, why are you attacking us? You're attacking the FBI. How dare you? How dare you? That's Satan's counterfeit. So what are we to make of all of these developments, these head-spinning developments from the last several weeks? Town hall, I think I gave this to you yesterday, a D.C.-based grand jury is going to indict Donald Trump on something soon. Just be prepared for that bit of prosecutorial overreach. Just be ready for it. How can they not? They know, they on the one hand, they say he's a demon. Everybody hates him. He's a horrible person. And yet they know, deep in their heart of hearts, that he's wildly more popular than they are. That's for sure. This is from Andrew Napolitano, the former talking head on Fox. He says, former President Donald Trump will soon be indicted by a federal grand jury. He is the victim of a federal government that knows no bounds and has assumed powers nowhere granted in the Constitution by the sheer force of its own will. It has created a security state replete with three-lettered acronym-named agencies, FBI, CIA, DEA, NSA, DIA, all of them, that are nowhere recognized in the Constitution. They have total power, this administrative state, this security state. They're not even recognized in the Constitution, and yet the Second Amendment is. They, like my father has said from the beginning, the goal is to trash the Constitution, to destroy America's founding, to destroy America itself. They hate America. And here come all these agencies, now with no oversight, virtually no oversight, because they can always claim, well, that's an ongoing investigation. Can't answer that. Sorry, Senator. Here come these, in some ways, unconstitutional agencies, because they're certainly not operating, even the way that whenever they started, these government officials envisioned. It's just out of control. Sending pictures, staging a photo op inside of Mar-a-Lago. Leave aside the documents. To take pictures of from inside Donald Trump's house and then send it around the world? That's your FBI? Yes, indeed. This would never happen to Obama. It says that are nowhere recognized in the Constitution, regularly break the written and moral laws, and are themselves far more dangerous to human freedom than the folks they pursue. That's true. They're far more dangerous to human freedom than these people they're pursuing. Because look at the ones they're pursuing. They're going after grandma with the selfie. They're going after the Trump attorney that got an extra perk that he didn't declare on his taxes. Imagine if they went after pedophiles like this. Imagine if they went after tax cheats like Paul Pelosi, or at least insider traders like Paul Pelosi, like they do the Trump attorney. Listen to this. This is especially rich. It's on Morning Mika today, clip 4.
Jonathan Rauch is taking a look at what a second Trump term might look like. Jonathan joins us now, and let's read from some of your argument, where you outline how MAGA Trump supporters could derail democracy by emulating the Prime Minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban. And I'll quote, first, install toadies in key positions. Second, intimidate the career bureaucracy. Third, co-opt the armed forces. Fourth, bring law enforcement to heel. Even more intimidating to the president's opponents than a complacent military is his securing full control at long last over the Justice Department.
A hilariously accurate description of Antiochus's administration, the deep state, totally weaponizing all of these agencies, weaponizing the Justice Department, putting in his toadies all over the place. Who in their right mind could suggest that even during the 4 years of Trump, that he was weaponizing any of these agencies? They hated him in the deep state. They worked against him. He said, declassify these and distribute them. And they said, no, we're not going to do it. We're just going to wait out the clock. And you're going to be gone because we stole the election. You're going to be gone January 20th. And then we're going to sit on these documents. And if you get a little careless with yours, we'll raid your home. And here's Mika talking about the dangers of a possible second Trump term. Isn't that unbelievable? Viktor Davis Hanson, I'll let him answer Mika's argument. And of course, it's her quoting from The Atlantic. But listen to Viktor Davis Hanson. He says here, let me just move forward. But to quantify those charges, what exactly has Trump done extra legally as opposed to his bombast and braggadocio about what he might have wished to have done? And what are the standards by which to judge this supposed menace? See, he's a fascist, right? He's a Nazi. So, well, what has he done? What's his crime? Just obstruction? Obstruction of what? It doesn't matter. We have to investigate this, and he obstructed. He needs to go to jail. Did Trump illegally and with a mere signature nullify over $300 billion of contracted student loans? Did Trump weaponize the feared IRS, the logical place to find fascistic tendencies of any president bent on using government to punish his enemies? Did he push through a plan to add 87,000 new IRS agents? Did Trump blatantly use the national security apparatus of the government to enhance his own reelection bid in 2020? Did Trump's people sit on any information that would have been damaging to him? I'll add that myself there. Was Trump ever caught on a hot mic promising Russian president that he would try to ease Russian worries about Eastern European missile defense if only the Russians would give him space during his 2012 campaign? Who really assisted and helped Vladimir Putin's Russia? Who was an agent of Russia? Who was a communist in his heart of hearts? Who was the real fascist? Did Trump weaponize the FBI That is, did the FBI go after journalists, former Obama officials, or Democratic Party activists who variously were attacked, were attacking Don Jr. or Ivanka on the pretenses of retrieving one of their lost laptops or diaries? Did Trump use Republican National Committee firewalls to transfer money to private lobbyists and law firms to find dirt on Hillary Clinton in 2016? Are there texts of Trump-era FBI agents talking about how to stop Hillary Clinton or Biden's election bid? Did Trump order an FBI raid on the Obama home? On rumors that there were thousands of documents under dispute with the National Archives in his possession, especially given the Obama record of fiercely fighting any Freedom of Information Act lawsuits to release his documents? Are there now any former Trump loyalists who, as anonymous officials in cabinet agencies or obstructionists on the National Security Council, are they writing op-eds about their stealthy daily efforts to undermine Biden's executive orders? Did Trump, as president, meet with CIA and FBI directors who, in their weekly and daily briefings, apprised him of efforts to monitor, spy, and infiltrate the campaign of Joe Biden? It says the strange thing about Trump was that he did not use extraordinary powers to investigate anyone unlawfully. He boasted, he railed, he screamed, he whined, he became at times crude and obnoxious, but he did not use the FBI, the CIA, the Justice Department, or the IRS to go after the Obamas, the Clintons, or the Bidens. And really, you can make a pretty strong case that he should have. And maybe when he comes back for his second term, he will. And maybe that's what they fear the most. They fear that if he gets power, if he's in control, that they might use these same, the Trump people might use these same agencies the way they're using them now. Pretty hard-hitting piece by Victor Davis Hanson. Again, when Bill Maher says, did we take it a little too far? I mean, is this a slippery slope to actually cover up crimes on the Biden family laptop? And Senator Klobuchar's response, well, but January 6th. January 6th, Bill. That's all I have to tell you. He's a fascist. He was literally trying to lead an armed insurrection. Listen to Joe Biden from his speech yesterday, clip one.
Imagine, Joe, if you turned on the television in Washington, D.C. and saw a mob of 1,000 people storming down the hallways of the parliament, breaking down the doors, trying to overturn an outcome of election, and killing several police officers in the meantime. Imagine what you'd think.
Imagine. You do have to imagine several police officers being killed, because that didn't happen. So it's just a product of his imagination. Ashley Babbitt died. You don't have to imagine that. That's real. She was shot by a Capitol Hill police officer who never went to jail for it, never prosecuted, no indictment. He shot her in cold blood. And there he is telling you to imagine January 6th, to imagine the insurrection. And if you support the Trump supporters who were at that protest, then you can't be pro-law enforcement. You're attacking law enforcement. You're attacking the FBI. Imagine. Satan just comes along and he flips it on its head and says, okay, this is what we're doing, but we'll accuse them of doing that. We've weaponized all these agencies, but we'll accuse Trump of doing that. Or at least we can say it might happen. It's possible. It's possible that he could do this, 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 and this. He's the one that has to be destroyed, Donald Trump, because he does, as my father says in Great Again, he does a really good job of identifying the problems of exposing the evil, all the filth. He maybe didn't use enough of his power as president to actually go after these criminals. But he has shown himself to be courageous, certainly with the message that he brings to the American people, certainly with the way that he confronts a hostile media that tried for its part to destroy him for 4 years, for 5 years. It continues. Listen to this flashback from during Trump's presidency. This reporter just cannot understand how or why Donald Trump would call the Bidens criminals. And listen to how he responds to this. Clip six.
The strategy seems to be to call Biden a criminal. Why is that?
He is a criminal. He got caught. Read his laptop. And you know who's a criminal? You're a criminal for not reporting it. You are a criminal for not reporting it. Let me tell you something. Joe Biden is a criminal, and he's been a criminal for a long time. And you're a criminal in the media for not reporting it. Good luck, everybody. Have a good time.
You're a criminal, too. Because you won't report it. Because you won't tell the truth. That guy that was on with Morning Mika, Jonathan Rauch, I guess is his name, at the Atlantic. Listen to him talk about all the maybes and mights and possibilities should Trump ever return to office. This is clip five.
In a second term, what's likely to happen is Trump would not repeat the mistake of appointing an attorney general who would go by the book. He'd just appoint someone like the pillow guy. Then the Senate, either because it's in Democratic hands or because this is a step too far, even for the Republicans, might not confirm that person. And Trump would say, OK, I'll just make them acting attorney general. He did that in his first term, too. He's got all kinds of ways to do this. It is, if you've got a president who's got 4 years and is determined to weaponize the Justice Department, I don't think we can stop that.
Wow, that's right. What about if you have a president who, if in 8 years, is determined to weaponize the Justice Department? Because that's what Obama did, and nobody stopped it. Nobody stopped it. And now here they are. Trump's been out of office for what, 18, 20 months? And he's talking about what will likely happen, what might could happen. He used the word if a couple of times. And then look at what's happening at the moment. Look at what they're doing right now. On the program yesterday, I talked about courage, or just putting your heart into everything that you do in service to God, tying in some of these crazy events that we're seeing in our world today, and learning from this war that we see between Antiochus and his people and Jeroboam and his. And these prophecies in 2 Kings 14, Amos 7, and elsewhere. But with respect to our spiritual war, and we're fighting against principalities and in high places, as Ephesians 6 says, and we need to put on the whole armor of God if we're going to be able to stand against these evil forces, if we're going to be able to reveal all of these counterfeits. This is from Romans 4 and verse 20, speaking of Father Abraham. It says that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham didn't flop around when God came and told him, look, I want you to leave your homeland and all your family and friends, some of them, and go to a strange place. He just obeyed. He obeyed God. He followed God. Verse 21, notice it says, and being fully persuaded what he had promised, that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. See, that's the way God wants for us to be. We've got to be fully persuaded. We've got to be doing it with our strength, our might, all of our power, everything that we can put into this. That's the way God wants us to approach our Christian battle, to be absolutely confident, to not just show weakness and, like I said yesterday, apathy, indifference, even when you see the evil, but to actually stand up to it, to do something about it. Like I said, if you have the power to crack down on these criminals, should have been done. Should have been done. And it wasn't, at least not to the extent that it should have been. And so these people have, these criminals have just amassed more power. They're kind of like the criminals on the streets of America's big cities. They know they're getting away with it, so they just continue on with their rampage. They just continue on with their violence and their looting and their burning. And then they get up in front of a crowd and have the audacity. They have the audacity to say, we are the party of law and order. But that's the way the devil would preach. He's an angel of light. If Satan were to manifest himself before you, he would say, look, I'm for law and order. I really am a righteous being. I am a perfect angel. 2 Corinthians 11. And I read this morning in epistles class, by the way, where Paul said in Galatians 2, you know, these people bringing in these false gospels, I'm not going to give them even the time of day. I'm not going to sit down with the devil. I'm not going to try to reason this out with these communists. I'm just going to stand against it, fight against it, fight to expose the truth here, and then use, in the case of our spiritual warfare, use that God-given authority to claim victories, to go forward fighting with Jesus Christ, fighting, of course, in the spiritual sense. Paul said, speaking of Ephesians, Paul said in chapter 4, this is Ephesians 4 and verse 14, he said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, people that take on this passive, indifferent approach, this apathetic mindset, this is what they fall victim to. The cunning sleight of men, cunning craftiness, subtle deception. You can't be that way. You've got to be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6 says. You have to be able to stand firm against it. James 4 and verse 7 and 8. I think that's further on in my notes, but just to dwell on this point a little bit more, what we're going up against. I'll plug America Under Attack as I sift through my note pages here. But this book, it's now been available for more than a week. It's in stock. We're mailing them out by the thousands. And it's totally, totally free of charge. No cost, no obligation. It's already been paid for by our faithful supporters. But we want for you to have it without cost, without obligation. We just need to know where to send it, of course. Call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. Toward the end of this book, it talks about the depths of Satan. The depths of Satan. The power of the devil. That's from Revelation chapter 2. The depths of the devil. But to just take you over to, well, let me just read you this quote. You can look at the depths of Satan. I think that's in Revelation 2 and verse 24. But listen to this quote from Herbert Armstrong. This is from 1974. He says, "The Bible reveals that Satan is an immortal spirit being. There is much, much more on this, but space does not allow the whole story here. Satan is revealed in the Bible as the God of this world, who has deceived the whole world, all nations." That's Revelation 12 and verse 9. That's what your Bible says. As I was pointing out in the epistles this morning, Mr. Armstrong made the point about the law of God, saying that the no-law deceivers, or the ones on the other extreme that say it's all this Pharisaical ritualistic law system, he said both sides can find a scripture or two. Both sides could find several scriptures to supposedly support their argument. And that's the way the religions of this world operate. They go into their study of the Bible and they pick and choose which verses they like. And then they create their religion instead of just submitting to the truth of the Bible. If Revelation 12:9 says that the devil has deceived the whole world, all nations, I mean, just think about what that means. That in itself explains so much about some of the topics we bring up on this program. He's deceived the whole world, Mr. Armstrong continued. He is revealed as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit being that now works in the children of disobedience. Satan is revealed as the prince, the power of the air. He goes on and says here, it is highly important we understand that Satan is the god of this world. Satan turned from God's way of love, love to God and worship, trust, obedience, steadfast faith, and love to fellow man and outgoing concern for the good and welfare of others, equal to self-concern, the way of helping, sharing, giving, cooperation. It says Satan turned to the way of vanity, self-centeredness, greed, lust, competition, strife, jealousy, envy, hatred. It says finally, this world is Satan's world. It is geared to self-concern, competition, strife, taking, getting, criticizing, accusing, injuring. And Satan, a super powerful spirit being, is the god of this world. But how does Satan work inside of the people of this world? How does he deceive them? This is important. Notice carefully. He says, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He works in people by broadcasting. Satan goes on the air. And so you see this program. I guess it is broadcast over the air as far as our local radio station is concerned. The video broadcast is sent through the internet. But you can look at the radio airwaves example or the over-the-air stations that you get on a TV with rabbit ears, if there's any of those left. And it really does leave us a vivid picture of the way the devil operates. He is broadcasting 24/7. And everything, even with the brief that was revealed last night, it's all carefully staged and orchestrated, even down to the picture. A picture of documents from inside Mar-a-Lago? They carefully frame the narrative because they know the kind of impact that it will have on unsuspecting minds. On minds that won't do a little bit of digging. That minds that aren't really interested in getting to the truth. Adam Schiff comes out, says, just so that you know, I'll give you a little one-sentence synopsis of this 36-page brief filed last night. It was devastating for Trump. Devastating. It's going to take him out. It's going to take him out. It's like impeachment 2, impeachment 1 before that, Bob Mueller, and on it goes. No wonder they call him Teflon Don. All of these attacks that have just bounced off of him. Well, there's a real spirit world, and I'm not just talking about Satan's army and his demons. God is alive as well. And God has, for 6,000 years, had the hands-off policy. He's teaching us a lesson in aversion therapy. But he does have the prerogative to intervene where needed to carry out his will, his purpose, to empower his church. And to make sure that these prophecies that have been in your Bible for thousands of years, that they unfold exactly the way that he said they would. And so don't stagger at those promises. Don't flop around. Don't be tossed to and fro. Just anchor your soul to the Word of God. Just believe and let it give you confidence and let it give you boldness and courage so that you can stand against these evil forces. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, it says, To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. He finishes the thought saying, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We can't let the devil get the advantage. It really is spiritual warfare. And we can't be ignorant of his devices, the way that he works, the cunning craftiness. It says here in Ephesians 6, we probably can finish in this chapter. Ephesians 6, it says, children, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, and so on. Verse 6, just to hit a few high spots, not with eye service, but as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, Paul here at the start of the chapter, he's emphasizing family government and submitting to the higher authorities in that family, or submitting to a boss, a supervisor, and really aiming to please, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ. And then it transitions into this, these familiar verses, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We've got to be strong in God's power. When we talk about putting all of our might, all of our strength, all of our power into whatever we do, this is the source that we're really talking about. This is the power that we really want to put into our activities. We're servants of God. We're servants of Jesus Christ. This is the only way to repel the devil's advances, to push back, to go on the offensive ourselves. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're not going to be able to stand against the devil's advance, against the devil's onslaught, unless we're fully armored, unless we put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're wrestling. We're in a wrestling match against spiritual wickedness in high places. But the real encouragement behind this message is that with God's power, the devil will turn and flee away or walk away. That's what it says in the book of James. I might be able to squeeze that in here in just a second, but look at verse 13 here first. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Are you doing everything that you can to stand against the devil? Have you done everything possible to equip yourself with all of this armor? You can go on and study the rest of the chapter on your own time. But notice what it says in James 4, quickly. It says, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. In America Under Attack, it says, people are looking. Well, let me just back up. It says, the devil has great power, and he has a burning goal to blot out what God has done and is doing. People who aren't close to God have no chance against Satan. We have no chance. And the vast majority of people are quite far from God. The vast majority, you see, they're far from God, and that means they're being devoured by the devil. And so we come back to these verses, and we anchor our souls to them. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. I'll read it again. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Don't forget about the toll-free number and the request for America Under Attack or the history book that I mentioned earlier, 1-866-930-3024. The email address, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.